Welcome to Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture. I'm Shelby Varner. Internet access and broadband is a concern for many Kansans. And in to talk about it today is Kansas Farm Bureau District 4 Director Steve McLeod and Pioneer Communications CEO and General Manager Catherine Moyer. Thank you both so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Catherine, to get started with you, could you just share a little bit about what is broadband and the access that we're looking at today?
I think that's probably the million-dollar question, Shelby. It really depends on why the question's being asked and by whom. So as a consumer, the definition will be determined by what the consumer needs. Does their connection do what they need it to do? Does it handle the data that it needs it to handle? For some people, it's simply 25 megabit. Sometimes it's 100, 500, a gig plus. As a provider, that definition is often determined by what you can provide as a provider. What does your technology allow you to provide? What do your customers need? But then for grants and other funds, different programs have different definitions. And finally, then for regulatory authorities, again, it depends on who is asking the question. But for the Federal Communications Commission, the current definition, broadband is 100 megabits down and 20 megabits up. But don't be mistaken, that's not really a technology-driven definition. That's really a political one.
We're talking about it today, obviously, because we find it important. Could you share a little bit about why this is important to Kansans?
Well, I think, you know, we'll probably talk a little bit more about it later on, but, you know, the COVID part of 2020 and as it extended into 2021 really highlighted a lot of the things that people do online. School, work, both remote work as well as the gig economy jobs, telehealth, precision ag, and the Internet of Things. Like everything is connected to the internet anymore. You obviously, you know, your phone, your computer, TV, but then you also talk about your thermostat and your refrigerator and your doorbell and your smart meters. All of those things are connected to the internet. So it's become a utility and something that generally people can't live without and aren't willing to live without.
And Steve, what value do you see broadband having and the access?
I mean, as Catherine said, and she hit on a number of excellent points there. And I think as far as the value there, so much of that was brought out. Again, we've talked about it a lot since then, but the whole COVID situation, particularly in rural areas, we're forced to attend school or work remotely. I think it really, really elevated the importance of broadband at that time. In addition to that, and again, was mentioned, so many, many things are connected to and reliant upon the internet. And you take that into an agricultural scenario where as technology continues to evolve and grow in the agricultural space, it is vitally important that producers have the access to high-speed internet to be able to utilize all of the technological advances that are being made available to them right now. So it's very, very important. That's not to mention the increased number of folks who want to work from home. Maybe in rural areas, that allows people to move into an area that simply, if there is not internet access, it can be a deal breaker. So it is vitally important on a whole range of fronts.
So what does the current access look like in Kansas?
Well, I'll jump in there. And I will say, I think it depends as much on where you live as who your provider options are. There's really good connectivity in Kansas and there's really poor connectivity. There are many providers and sometimes only a few, again, dependent on where you live. One of the most important pieces that I often talk about is it's not just the accessibility, but it's also the affordability. Because oftentimes, if the accessibility is right outside your door, if you can't afford it, then you may as well be living where you can't even access it. So that is something that we spend a lot of time talking about in our industry. But I really start to talk about, it really depends as much as where you live and who your provider is in the state of Kansas.
I would echo that as well. We live in a situation, actually, we live just north in the northern part of Harvey County. We're in a rural area, but not a remotely rural area. Yet there is not a provider nearby that is able to access us. Now, we do have some wireless options, which we're unable to access because of we have a number of trees and some things like that, which creates complications. But cost also, and I agree with that, cost becomes a very real factor In our situation, we utilize satellite, which is serviceable to some degree, but it's very, very expensive. And I could see a lot of people just simply not being able to pay that monthly bill. I work from home, so it's a necessity. But again, I would agree with what Kat said. It's as much an issue of accessibility followed by affordability. I agree with that very much.
Kat, Steve, you both touched on a little bit online schooling and working from home, that increase we really saw in 2020. How did that further expose this issue?
Well, I would say that it highlighted the necessity piece. You know, I talked a little bit about it really taking the turn here recently and calling internet broadband access a utility. You know, work, school, entertainment, telehealth all became top of mind during the COVID period. And I think that it not only happened with the consumers, the person at home accessing, but also for us as providers, as we tried to answer the call of additional people coming online. But then also, let's be honest, it became top of mind for elected officials and regulators. And so, you know, Pioneer personally, we saw a pretty large increase in customers, many of whom we provided free connections for a period of time, really to handle online schooling with kids that went home for, and at least in our part of Kansas and Southwest Kansas, went home for spring break and never went back. So it became something that happened very quickly. But the other piece of it for us was the scalability on the backside, because it wasn't just the connection to folks at their homes or their businesses, but it was the scalability of the amount of data that all of a sudden traversed our network and being able to get that out to the rest of the world. And so that was a really important piece as well. But again, it exposed the lack of connections, and it often exposed networks that weren't scalable or ready to handle large amounts of data.
And I would take that in a bit of a different direction, but just speaking from our own personal example, again, as I mentioned, we're on a satellite provider. When the COVID situation hit, we immediately transformed from me working at home alone to where my daughter, who is a college student, was trying to study remotely. My wife, who works off the farm, was trying to work from home. And we ran into two issues immediately. Number one was connectivity, and just three of us trying to do the same thing in the house at the same time simply was not possible. And then secondly, and as Kat touched on, the amount of data, we're on a limited data plan. And our provider, I think they recognized it. They tried to come out with some alternatives for additional data and so forth. But virtually overnight, we found ourselves in a really, really, really difficult situation. And I can only imagine what providers such as Pioneer and those found themselves in the middle almost overnight.
Kat, coming from Western Kansas and Steve being in Harvey County, looking a little bit more towards the east there, do you see parts of the state that are lacking more access than other parts, or is it kind of spotted throughout Kansas?
I will just speak from my perspective here in Central Kansas, and I would say that in our area, and I would say looking more easterly, it would be more of a spotty type thing. I know, we refer to ourselves as living in a bit of a black hole right here, because all around us there is good accessibility, and you draw about a 5, maybe 7, 8 mile circle on our map, and all at once it's a problem. And I would say that that's what it is in our area. I see signs that maybe that is going to be changing over time, but it certainly hasn't yet. And I'll let certainly Kat speak to the western part of the state, because that I'm not as familiar with.
No, I would agree with you, Steve. I mean, I think in general, it can be sometimes pretty spotty, but it's the spots are those very, very rural parts of Kansas. But I will also go back to the fact it's sometimes determined by who your provider is. You know, I think that speaking personally from Pioneer's perspective, we're organized as a cooperative, and we will make decisions as a cooperative that other business entities wouldn't. We can sometimes handle a 25-year return on our investment when others might not be willing to. So I think that comes into play as well. But I'm obviously engaged in a lot of these conversations across the state, and there are folks that will tell you there are pockets in Wichita and pockets in Topeka that also don't have good service. And those areas are of concern as well. I will tell you also that the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, is busy mapping the entire U.S. for broadband availability. And what they're doing that in anticipation of grant dollars that are going to come down the pike. Probably at this point, we were hopeful in 2023, but I think it's probably looking more like 2024. to do that, it was a really big undertaking to map the US, but I would direct your listeners to a website, which is broadbandmap.fcc.gov. And there they can look at particular parts of Kansas, or any part of the US for that matter, but particular parts of Kansas. They can input their address. They can look at what providers say is available to them. They can look again at other parts of the state and see providers and see plans and see availability. And then they can also challenge it. So if they put their address in and they figure, okay, wait, that is completely incorrect, they can actually issue a challenge, and the FCC at some point would hopefully update the map. But again, I think that map is a pretty handy tool to help identify these pockets that are truly unavailable or have, you know, service that is not up to the broadband definition, at least that the Federal Communications Commission has put on it.
I would add on to that, to what Kat said, a couple of things. First of all, we live in one of those spots where, again, so much of it is the provider. Ours is, again, not mentioning any names, but ours is one considered to be a legacy provider. And while the grant dollars are vitally important for cooperatives and so forth, I have literally, again, through connections we've been able to make with Senator Moran's office and others, talked to the higher ups of this for-profit provider. And just for a case in point, for our mile that we live on, there would be 5 connection points. And I was just very simply told that these do not meet our profitability requirements. And I thought Kat's point very much is a good one there with cooperatives, where they can, and we're seeing that in cooperatives in our area, they can take a longer return on their investment, whereas a for-profit or a provider such as that simply is unwilling to do so. So that creates an issue, and that's very specifically the issue that I find myself living in. Secondly, I think it's key to understand that mapping is important. Part of the issue that we ran into back in late 19, early 2020, when the COVID situation was taking off, even prior to that, when we were beginning to look into this, COVID, I would say, just exacerbated the situation. But trying to find in our area where the boundaries on that map actually are is a real challenge. And that's where the mapping software and the mapping program that FCC is undertaking, I think, is very, very important as well. So, yes, I would agree that so much of it is your provider and, very simply, where you live.
And Steve, let me just piggyback just a second and say it's not just the co-ops. There's also what I will call community-based providers that aren't large providers that, you know, answer to Wall Street and others, but community-based providers who really have a real interest in serving the rural parts of not just Kansas, but America. And like I said, Pioneer's a co-op, and we are lucky that we are, because I think it does allow us the flexibility for some of these investments that don't otherwise make sense.
Steve, a few years ago, Kansas Farm Bureau did stuff to kind of test and see what was happening to show where Kansas was struggling. Could you talk a little bit on Kansas Farm Bureau's Connecting Kansas work?
A number of years ago, I'm going to say probably it was prior to the pandemic. Kansas Farm Bureau encouraged our membership to download an app, a connectivity app, where we could actually go around various places in our farm community, so forth, and download or you know, do a connectivity test. And then that data was mapped and sent on to FCC. We had an awful lot of participation in that. And through that work, we're able to identify a number of areas of the state that were underserved. So that work was done a number of years ago. I think it's now quite similar to what they're doing with the mapping with FCC now. I'm not as familiar with that. But Kansas Farm Bureau has been working for a number of years in trying to, first of all, identify areas that are underserved, and then work in trying to undertake and assist in that area with as far as connectivity. So, again, I think KFB has been very, very good at looking ahead, trying to anticipate and see and recognize where our members, and not just our members, but rural Kansas, for that matter, all of Kansas, need help, and see what we can do to facilitate that. So yes, we've been involved in that for a number of years.
And I would agree, Steve, that process, just because I did work with some of the folks at KFB as they were putting that information together, and we utilized it at the Kansas legislature specifically for giving them a snapshot of what Kansas looked like. but that process is very similar to the process that the Federal Communications Commission is undertaking. And so the same things that your KFB members submitted on underserved and just service in general are the same things that the Federal Communications Commission is looking for at that broadbandmap.fcc.gov site. And so if your members haven't already gone there, I would encourage them to do so and submit that same type of information that they submitted via the app.
As companies and places have tried to expand access and hopefully try to reach those customers who are lacking access, for the ones who have gained the access, what impact have you seen them have?
The folks that I talk to talk about quality of life. Oftentimes it's entertainment. They want to talk about, you know, streaming capabilities and whatnot, the Netflix and chill type of conversation. But I think the ones that make a real difference to folks, the ability to work from home, the ability to school from home, to pursue further education without going elsewhere to do that, the opportunity to attend doctor's appointments, not just the ones locally, but specialists that you would otherwise, at least in rural Kansas, you'd have to travel to, say, a Wichita or a Kansas City or, you know, a Denver. You could often do those remotely as well. And then specifically, you know, precision agriculture. And I think the opportunity, and Steve highlighted it a little bit, the opportunity to be able to use those tools and the things that are occurring in the precision ag world oftentimes require a pretty hearty connection. And once you have that, then you have the ability to go out and pick and choose those precision ag things that are going to be helpful to folks that are farming in Kansas.
And I would add on to that, and I agree 100%. You know, back in, and I won't, you know, go into how old I am, but back, you know, early on when things were just as far as the internet connectivity and so forth were first coming on, in many respects, it was seen as something that was, I won't say a luxury, but something that was, you know, it was nice to have. Transition that to today, and I would put forth that it's not something that's a luxury, it's a necessity, particularly in the rural areas. All of the things that Kat talked about there, everything from working remotely to doctor's appointments to education to every bit of that, and not the least of which is entertainment. Again, we're in a situation where, you know, Netflix is just simply not something that we can even consider. I've heard others say, so I can't take credit for this, but I think it's very, very apt that they have related the broadband and the connectivity issues of today with the rural electrification issues of the early to mid-1900s. It has become that important. And a lot of your technological and agricultural applications utilize extensive mapping of fields and all of that, which take large amounts of data, and your download and upload speeds are really, really critical there. And sometimes we farmers are very, very patient, and sometimes we're not the most patient. And sitting there and watching the little gray circle go around and around and around on your screen is one of those times when we're not very patient. And just the issues that causes, it's absolutely vital in today's technological, particularly in agricultural world, to have that type of connectivity. It's just simply not an option anymore.
Are there any other thoughts you would like to leave with members in terms of gaining access or broadband?
So I would say that there are a tremendous number of grant programs that have been funded over the past few years, as well as several more to come. I'm going to highlight just a couple. One, the state of Kansas is making broadband availability grants available. That's through money from KDOT through their IKE 10-year program. The Kansas Office of Broadband Development through the Department of Commerce is actually administering those grants, $85 million over 10 years, so decent sized dollars. They've also, the Office of Broadband there at Commerce has also administered some federal programs through the Capital Projects Fund that came from Treasury, as well as some of the money from the American Rescue Plan, the ARPA dollars that the state of Kansas received. And soon, as I referenced maybe a little bit earlier, the Office of Broadband Development will get some federal money from the Infrastructure and Jobs Act. And that's the FCC map that I referenced. That is what's going to determine the funding. Every single state and territory gets $100 million, but the rest of the money that will be distributed, roughly about $42 billion, will go based on what the map says is available and unavailable. So Kansas is estimated to get somewhere around $400 to $500 million, which the Office of Broadband Development will also help to grant to providers and others who are interested. And what I would say about that is just having an active voice at your local level, whether that's with your provider, whether that's with a provider that's relatively close, make those connections and have those conversations, but also talk to your local folks, your county commissioners and your city council, because they are going to play strong roles in, I think, helping bridge the gap of where availability is and being able to bring some providers to the table and have those conversations, which will allow some of those dollars to perhaps come to places that are concerning to some of your members.
I would concur with everything that Kat says there, and you know, simplify it even to the point of just say, show up. Right now, the Department of Commerce is doing what they're calling their broadband roadshow, and they're doing a number of town hall type meetings throughout the state. Show up. Make sure your voice is heard. I would also agree, talk to your county commissioners, your state legislators, your state senators, even when your local congressional representative is having a town hall or something, show up and speak up. The old cliche that the squeaky wheel gets the oil, and sometimes in some cases is very, very true. The other thing, and I would make this point as well, when you do visit these things or talk to your legislators, many times, you know, and Kat touched on it earlier in our conversation, sometimes it's a matter of affordability. And maybe the emphasis is being put there, but we need to also tell the accessibility story in the rural part of the state. It's really a two-pronged situation. Number one, you know, those who can't afford it, but then those who just don't have accessibility. So please, I would encourage our members to show up at these meetings, show up at county commission meetings, anywhere you have an opportunity to tell your story and reach out, I would encourage you to do so.
I think that is fantastic advice. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Steve, so much for joining us today and just sharing some information on the topic.
Thank you, Shelby.
Thank you, Shelby. Thank you, Kat. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Steve.
That was Kansas Farm Bureau District 4 Director Steve McLeod and Pioneer Communications CEO and General Manager Catherine Moyer. That study that Kansas Farm Bureau did took place in 2018, where they conducted more than 6,000 tests using major cellular carriers. Of the tests, more than 2,600 met the required FCC guidelines, including samples outside a building or vehicle, no Wi-Fi usage, location enabled, and manually initiated. Nearly 1,600 reported downloads speeds of less than 5 megabytes per second, well below the threshold of adequate service. Six locations from southeast of Bern to Maxville area met the FCC criteria for substandard service. If you'd like to read more information on this, you can go to www.kfb.org/connectingkansas. Kansas Commerce also has a website where you can find more information on this, where you can go to www.kansascommerce.gov/Office of Broadband Development. And that map that Catherine Moyer mentioned, you can go to broadbandmap.fcc.gov to find more information. If you enjoyed the podcast, give it a like and share with others. I'm Shelby Varner, and this has been Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture.